Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello. We should just sing a little song and that can be our new theme song. Hello. Hello.
There's
by Adele.
There's a tunnel under Ocean Boulevard. Don't forget me.
We should get Lana to sing our theme song.
Would fucking love that.
We should just make it, there's a tunnel under Ocean Boulevard. And just hope she doesn't
we get
sue
removed
us. Yeah.
From all platforms. Our episodes are getting retrospectively removed from all these platforms because of the music that we like throw in sometimes.
Is that why they're silent, do you think?
No, I think that's some of the fuck up. So the first episodes that we released are now silent, apart from like 7 minutes of Acast ads. Also,
God has a plan.
I'm like, how are there that many Acast ads allowed? I swear we need to have a cap on those. But anyway, there's like 6 minutes of ads and then deathly silence. It's deathly silent. And then a bunch of our other episodes where we just put in like 30 seconds of silly songs. Like Britney Spears, Lucky.
That's been removed.
Etc. They just keep getting flagged for copyright infringement and being removed.
Lucky is probably, if we had to just pick a theme song, I would say it would be a really good contender.
Same.
She's so lucky.
We should just get someone to make an instrumental version of that. Or we do a cover, because you know how restaurants, you know how at hotels they always play those covers of famous songs because they can't afford the real version?
A license-free.
Why don't we just do that?
We need like a banjo or like a lute. A pan flute version of She's So Lucky.
Yeah.
Do we know any singers?
Surely.
If you're a singer.
Hannah can sing.
Hannah could sing. A drunk karaoke version of Hannah singing She's So Lucky.
Yeah, but Lana actually ties, not to jump ahead because we've got things to discuss beforehand, but Lana actually ties into the theme of this episode. She ties into the Meghan Markle.
Does she? How?
Because she, like, promotes the trad wife vibe.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she did.
Yes.
Back
yeah.
in the good old days.
That's true.
But before that, it was my birthday.
Happy birthday. I wish I popped the champagne after we started recording, but I couldn't help myself.
And Grace is drinking Moe in celebration.
Cheers.
I'm drinking coffee and just made porridge. And while I was making my porridge, I was thinking about how much you hate oat milk and how I was making oats with oat milk in my pot. I was like, I'm going to die from oat-related diseases, according to you.
I saw an Oatly box. Did we already talk about this? And they have like a letter of contrition on the side of the box now. They're like,
what?
The top literally says something like, we know. And then there's a letter. We know what? We know all the things that you said we did that were naughty, and now we've changed our formula.
Oh my God. Well, that's good.
That's good. They've been listening to AWD.
There's a fawn on the side of my Oatly box. It's really cute. I spent so long talking to the Erewhon check out girl about it.
A fawn.
Yeah, birthdays. Birthdays are rough. I was just saying to Grace before we got on that I've felt depressed in the days since. 1 year older, but thank fuck. I thought I was, I thought I turned 34 by, well, I thought I was turning 33, and then I was at my birthday lunch and I said to my friend, how old are you? And she was like 35, and I thought she was 1 year older than me. So that spun me out, and I was like, oh my God, am I turning 34? And then they were like, yeah, what year were you born? And I was like, 1990, but I was born in 1991, but I just forgot. And I was like, oh my God. And everyone was like, yeah, if you were born in 1990, it's so simple. Like, you're obviously 34. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, I can't believe I lost a whole year of my life. And I was like, I was telling people I was turning 33 today. And I was like, fully like convinced. My grandma emails me and says happy 33rd, and I was like, my grandma has dementia, so she's got wrong. And then the next day I talked to Amar on the phone and I was like, good morning, I can't believe how old I am. And he was like, you're not, you're so fucking stupid.
Well, you lost a year of your life, then you gained it back. I think 33 is a nice age. 33 has a chic. It's the double three. There's a good sexy feeling to 33.
I don't know. Every year just gets harder and harder, if I'm honest. I just feel so, like, out of sorts today. I think birthday blues are so real. I think everyone demands attention of you. And also because we're a day behind where we live versus where we were born and where our families live. Mm. It was the 17th here. My mum's calling me, telling me to open my presents and being all crazy, and I was like, mum, I just, like, what am I gonna do tomorrow? And being like, 30 this day 33 years ago, I was like, it might as well be your fucking birthday. And then, yeah, just lots on, so many texts to reply to.
It's definitely that, like, ADHD overwhelm on a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it? I don't know. I feel like I had one birthday where literally, like, no one messaged me. I want to say I got like 4 or 5 texts, which I know is not no one. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, Zach, you need to put up an Instagram story because so many close friends have forgotten, like really close friends.
My,
like,
sister besties forgot.
Had forgotten. Yeah.
Because no one posts on Instagram anymore. Exactly. I text my sister and go, I was like, worst sibling, though, of course, all my brothers forgot. Like, that's just a given. Yeah, it's just a given. I was like, worst sister ever. I like the sister dad had in high school more than you. And she was like, why? She was like, why? And I was like, look at the date. And it was the 19th, like, in New Zealand. So she felt super bad. But I was like, it's today in LA.
This is like worth thinking about. I think I know your birthday and Phaedra's birthday.
I don't even know your birthday. I know it's October.
Yeah.
20 something.
Yeah. I knew yours is mid to late March, so I had this total panic last week. Like, had I missed it and you just hadn't said anything.
Imagine silence on the pod. You speak that, to me and that, I don't that. Speak back. I'm giving you the silent treatment.
It's another episode of 7 Minutes of Anson, complete silence. But we need to bring back
Sharing
or like the calendar where you literally write, you have a calendar on your wall and you write at the start of the year all your friends' birthdays in it so you know ahead of time. The old ways.
Well,
the dark
people
arts.
Do. I mean, I have it on my whatever this is, calendar, digital Google calendar or whatever. I have everyone's birthdays on that, so it reminds,
okay.
It pops up.
You're a normal person.
Hannah's birthday's on the 13th of April, I see. But yeah, I think it's funny because then a few people shared it on their. I can't even see your birthday on here. Oh yeah, they're 28. I was going to say 27th.
Very close.
A few people shared, but then it just feels random to reshare now.
I know.
To repost, like, people being like, happy birthday. I'm like, happy birthday to me. Here I am.
Yeah, bitches.
So anyway, they're weird. Birthdays are funny. I feel like I don't want to feel upset about getting older, but it's still,
A reality.
It's a reality.
It's more like feeling as though, which is so
stupid because it's not true, but then just like biologically it kind of is. Just feeling like you're like past your prime with things like, it's not true for exercise, but just stuff like that. Like I was running yesterday and I was listening to this book called, I think it's called What I Think About When I Think About, What I Talk Right. About When I Talk About Running.
I gave that to my brother.
Did you?
A classic. I'm just like, what to give a runner at Christmas?
It is. It's a perfect book.
A book about running.
Yeah. And he was talking about how, to be fair, he said his peak of running, but I don't know when he started. He said his peak of running was in his 40s. And he was running marathons in under 3.5 hours. So that's like 5 minute kilometers, which is really good for a fucking wow. full marathon. And then he just said that as he started getting older, even though his training remained the same, his time just started slowly going up. And I was like, that's me.
Not a king. That's not going to be you till you're in your 50s.
Still.
I feel in two minds about, 30 is definitely the first birthday that's like rocked my sense of self, because I still feel like, you know, that Atlantic article we probably talked about where it's like, how old do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's was like 80% of their age. I still feel 28. And something we don't talk about enough that maybe we just don't want to talk about because it's depressing is just how we were like robbed of 4 very good years in the pandemic. And I think that adds to the weight of feeling sorrowful around birthdays
for sure,
because you feel a lot older, like you sound older than you feel.
Like I went into the pandemic 28 and came out like 31 basically.
Sexy years.
Really sexy years. Probably
the sexiest years.
I do feel worse for like teenagers coming out of school and wanting to go and party and stuff, but when you're older you have more money and more freedom, and these are the years where you've worked so hard to be able to afford to do fun things, and then you're just locked inside going fucking crazy.
Yeah, the fun has like petered off, and we haven't really got back to it.
And I also think that going in at 28, coming out at like 31, it's now, bless them, I love them, but all my friends are having babies.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just feels like the vibe has shifted in this, like especially in LA. I think because I moved here like 5 years after a lot of my good friends moved here. Everyone moved here, everyone partied, everyone explored, everyone went on holiday, had such a great time, and now everyone, and they're all like a year older than me, and everyone's married, and they're just like, okay, time, like one person accidentally got pregnant, and then everyone else is like, well, we may as well all do it together, and I'm like, no, we may as well not, fuck.
It's like a domino falls. I've had 4 pregnancies in the last week, 4.
Wow. Like, yeah,
just nuts. And it's so exciting for your friends, but it is that thing we talked about on the panic years thing of like, it creates this sense of sorrow that this like period of your life it's not over, it's just changed. It's like a season of your life is over.
Yeah, we also talked about it in that Cut article. I've fully forgotten that writer's name right now, but
Lindsay. Oh no, not Lindsay.
It was, yeah, who the fuck was it? Does that was C?
It's the girl who did the Meghan Markle one. She's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. She wrote a piece about basically everyone having babies and talking about how, but it was such an interesting piece because it was like, it wasn't just talking about it from the single person's perspective. It was talking about it from the mother's perspective and about how friendships just do change. And it's like my friend said the other day, bless her soul, she's going to listen to this and be like, feel bad maybe. But it's like she said the other day, oh, you know, I'm in a group chat with all the mums. Like that just happens because they have different shit to talk about. And obviously when your kid is like all consuming and you're learning so much and you're wanting to talk about it with other people who have experienced it, it makes sense to gravitate towards other mums. And then the new mums were saying, the single people were saying they felt like shit because they felt like the new mums were kind of ignoring them a little bit, or like haven't starting these new friendships with these other people who had kids and leaving them out. And the new mums were like, well, yeah, I feel the same way, but also I am doing that because you just don't fucking understand. Like, and you make me feel guilty when I need to go home at 7 p.m. or you make me feel guilty when I'm talking about my kid.
Yeah. Or I'm just in like survival mode and I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing.
So yeah.
I just need to ask people that like also know what's going on. 100%.
Yeah.
It's a really complicated time in our lives. And I think the more we talk about it, the better it is. Even if you're not going to solve anything, I think it makes people feel better because it's something that this is something I've been thinking about a lot, even getting married and like talked to Zach about, is just this feeling of we're at this stage where we're making decisions that are locking in our lives to a certain extent, not forever, but you don't really throughout your 20s make decisions that have very long lasting ramifications. Like when you move into an apartment, you can always move out, you're renting, you're moving overseas, your thing, like things, even jobs are less, there's less permanence or sense that it means anything. And it feels like we're getting to this age now where decisions like where you live and whether or not you have children and if you marry the person that you're with, like they all feel just a little bit more serious in a way that's kind of confronting, because I think we all still feel like we're 22 and just want to have fun and don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Yeah, it's like, it's funny because I was saying this to someone the other day about the New York versus LA thing, because I think when I got back from New York, I was just feeling super, we've talked about this, but just a lot more isolated here and a lot more lonely, and was sort of like, fuck, maybe while I'm living by myself and my boyfriend lives overseas and I'm not like in this really nesting phase, maybe I shouldn't be in a city where it's quite isolating. Everyone lives with their partners and everyone's having babies and there's no nightlife. My friend was like, oh, it's so nice that you just get to like come home after work and chill. Like, I hate going out at night. And I was like, I know, I'm not wanting to go clubbing like I did in my 20s. Like, it's not like we want to, like you were just saying, you're exhausted from having like three social activities on the weekend. Like, it's not even like that I'm craving that at all. It's somewhere in between. Like, we just get to this phase where it's like, I don't want to be drinking and partying, but I want to be still lying on the couch with my mates watching movies and eating popcorn. And it's like that stuff shifts, obviously, in your, like, mid to late 20s when you all move in with your boyfriends anyway, and even just after uni when you all get jobs. But it just shifts so much more when it's like, oh, is your husband going to be home? Because he ruins the vibe of The Bachelor.
Yeah, and also you're in a very unique situation
where
you're, like, suspended between being in, like, a long-term monogamous relationship but not having the, like, day-to-day comfort of that. You know what I mean? It's a different experience, obviously, being at home, even though you know you have a partner. It's not the same, but then there's also this culture around being single of you have your single friends and you guys go out and you have a bit of a thing. You're neither one of those things, which makes it, I think, particularly difficult.
Yes. It's me and the dog and the cat.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, with kids with babies, I think it's also just not knowing. Like, I think when you don't have one, you don't know when to step it. Like, my friend had a baby recently and she lives near me, and I've texted her being like, I want to come around and meet him, and she's like, yes, come around and meet him. And then it's just neither one of you text the other, and I'm like, I don't want to force her into having to have me around if she's tired, but she's probably like, I don't want to force her to have to come around when I'm just lying on the couch with this baby.
It's so interesting. I remember like a friend of mine was really, really early, the earliest person by many years to have kids, and I remember going to see her when I was in London, and it was that exact dance of she really wanted us to catch up because she wanted to not feel like everything was different and to be out of the house and to do something. And it was just from the second I got there, we picked a pub right around the corner from her house. And then you could see she was anxious about being away from her baby. After about 20 minutes, her husband called. He was freaking out about something. She couldn't stop thinking about it. So we went back to her house, which was like totally, I just said to her, I was like, whatever you want to do, it's so fine. But I could just, I felt so bad because I could see the machinations of her brain trying to be two things at once at the same time. And it is just too much in many ways. And it's really hard to be a friend to your friend that's just had a baby when you haven't had a baby, because you literally have no fucking idea what to do that will help them.
Yeah.
It's literally kind of like when someone you know has someone die. Like, you're like, I don't know what's overstepping. Yeah. I don't know what you need from me. Yeah. I don't know what to ask for. I don't want to be bugging you all the time to make you tell me what to do, but I don't know. So I'm just going to avoid because that feels easier.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like my best friend had a baby when we were literally like 22. Mm. So crazy to think back. But it's funny with her because I think we were so young. It just did kind of feel like we were in it together. So those are the only kids and that's the only family where I'll go around and just, it like feels completely natural with those children. And I want that to like become just more of a thing. But it's, I guess it's just hard. Another friend here is about to have a baby in June, Gemini. And she lives around the corner. So I feel like I'm just going to like insert myself. Be like, you just tell me when to leave. Otherwise, I'm going to be here.
It's really nice. It's an exciting, I mean, yeah, we can talk about this with the Tradwife stuff. I feel like this all parlays into that so much. So many things that I've been like thinking about lately. But we can just go straight into it. We spoke about Nara Smith and we want to talk about the Meghan Markle lifestyle brand. But I've just been thinking a lot about that idea, talking about Nara Smith specifically, just like the fetishization of motherhood and like domestic chores and how that's become like a new luxury symbol and how I look at that content of her. And I do feel like it's aspirational and I do think that would be really, really nice. And then I zoom out and think it's so retro and so funny.
Yeah, so this is the girl, if you can't remember who Nara Smith is, it's because when I saw her on our doc, I was like, who is that? It's Lucky Blue Smith, the model's wife, who, how many kids do they have together? Two.
Two and she's pregnant.
Right. And they're, how old is she? Like 28?
She's like, no, she's like 22. She's like, oh my God. Super young. Yeah. Which I didn't know until recently.
Oh my God.
And she's a Mormon. Love.
She's what?
A Mormon.
Wow. Okay. Lots happening.
Complicated queen.
And he already has one kid with the other, with his ex-wife? Ex-girlfriend?
Girlfriend. Stormy Bree.
No, wait. Oh. I can't work out how old she is. Oh yeah, okay, 22. Wow.
Yeah, someone on one of her TikToks said, like, I love your videos, I'm so inspired, I'm 22. And she said, so am I, exclamation mark, and everyone lost their shit.
So, they're married, and then he's a model, and she's a model maybe, but she basically on TikTok just posts video after video after video of her making, so she's like, what my husband eats in a day, and she'll make him all these meals and spend hours in the kitchen. And then I think as the videos got more popular, she started dressing cuter for them. And she'll make like this elaborate, crazy lunch just for her husband. And then she'll make herself something different and her kids something different. So that girl is in the kitchen like all day.
Or she'll say like, my kids really felt like a cheese toastie. And then she'll make literally like the bread from scratch. And then she'll make the fucking cheese from scratch. And then she'll like make the pesto from scratch. And it's all this 3-minute video, but it's obviously like 7 hours of work in the kitchen.
Yes. And I think the what my husband likes to eat in a day thing, obviously, I think that was kind of when it went, her TikTok started going off because people were just like, this feels so trad wifey, just documenting everything you're cooking for him every day. And then she had to start like specifying in them, I enjoy doing this, he does not ask me to do this, I love cooking for my family. And yeah, it's kind of weird that we are all, I don't know, I just think about the behind the scenes of every video and then it makes me feel sick, like the cleaning up, the grocery orders. Where are the, like, the kids crying? Not where are the kids, but like the kids crying. Just that you just would not be able to live like that. Obviously, it's like having the luxury to not be working those days, but also having, she obviously has, surely they have paid help, because imagine cleaning up after all of that every day.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, the videos are so calming. They're like ASMR. They're very relaxing to consume, and they completely obscure. Like, if the kids ever appear in the picture, it's a little hand grabbing something off a plate or something. It's very stylized. So yeah, you don't get the vibe that there's screaming toddlers running around and having tantrums and fighting, and that, yeah, there's probably nannies in there working full time, and that she's literally turning something that takes like 6 or 7 hours of just standing up in a full face of makeup and like a sexy outfit in the kitchen for out. It's crazy.
I know.
But to me, I think what's interesting about it is it's something I've been thinking about a lot lately as someone who probably wants to have kids in the next couple of years.
Another one bites the dust.
Another one bites the dust. I'm sorry. It's like, what does... I think the pull I feel is being brought up in this generation of millennial women that were taught that we can't not work. We need to have our own careers. We can't sacrifice our wants and interests and goals and ambitions for the sake of family and husbands, because that will ultimately make us unhappy and we'll just get walked all over. And that's what our foremothers in feminism fought against. That being one side of the thing. And then the other side of the thing being that, especially during COVID, we're having this like post-capitalist awakening where we realize that work is a place where a lot of us are highly stressed, are often, and this is just speaking like generally, are often, you know, underpaid and overworked, where it brings us a lot of anxiety in our lives, and that sometimes it doesn't give us the purpose that we were promised it would. And this idea that child rearing has been kind of demonized and turned into like, you're a bad feminist if you want to take a couple of years out of the workforce and just hang out with your kids at home and make them dinner and go for walks and go to the farmers markets, that that's somehow anti-feminist. That doesn't feel true.
No.
So I think that's why we look at these videos and they feel really aspirational, because a lot of us think, I would fucking love to just sit around all day with 2 kids and make bread from scratch and sit and hang out with them and cut up fruit, and not because we're bad feminists, but because that's a nice way to spend your time, even if sometimes it might be tedious and boring.
Of course. And I think it's that push and pull between those two things. And I think that ultimately there's just obviously such a middle ground that we should be, I guess, aspiring towards, of like taking as much time off work as we need and want and feel. And also it's just your brain does just change once you have kids, which I know we've talked about a lot, where it's like the thing you care about is work and ambition and being really successful in that area, and then you have these kids and you're like, who gives a fuck about my job that I'm just making money for like some random old man at a business when I'm just happier here raising these kids to be the best humans they could possibly be. Like, obviously your ambitions do change, but I think, yeah, with that we can romanticize that kind of I don't know, whatever, trad wife or just like staying at home and not working thing. But I think, as you say, like I think a problem with it is what we see on Housewives a lot, and with a lot of rich women, is that power imbalance really can shift. And I think that's a hard place to be as well.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
That was something I was talking with a friend about last night, where she was saying that it's something like 70% of Centrelink payments in Australia are to women, or 70 or 80% maybe. And a lot of it is women who made that decision to stay home and look after children and take themselves out of the workforce, get older, get divorced. And then it's not just that they aren't getting the same. If kids are grown up, like everyone knows this, but just if you get divorced from someone and your kids are all grown up, unless they're super wealthy or you've had great lawyers, you just stop getting money once your kids are over 18. So if you've taken yourself out of the workforce for 20 years to raise your kids, you have no resume and no skill set, and you can't just go and earn money in the same way for yourself as someone who has also got divorced but has worked the whole time. And I think that's what feels so difficult and unfair about thinking about like work and parenting now. And like you say, it's not a one or another thing, but it does feel like the work system is still set up in such an ancient
system. Yeah, and I guess the way I'm thinking of it as well is like for a career like ours, which is so much easier to dip in and mm-hmm. out, whereas for other women, it might just be literally more expensive to send their kids to daycare. Their works might not be flexible with them leaving at 3 p.m. to pick the kids up from school. Like it just might be near impossible to do, and also just like not financially viable. But that was the other thing that I was so shocked about when I went to Canberra to this amazing charity, of which the name I've obviously forgotten, where they dress women for job interviews, or dress people for job mm-hmm. interviews. And they were saying that most of the homeless people who are coming through are older women who are divorced. Like just like women like our mums who are now unhoused because, yeah, they like got divorced and didn't have anything left. So
it's so crazy.
It's so crazy. I was just like, what the fuck? But
these are the conversations. I know they sound silly to have in the context of Nara Smith, but I actually think they are important because I think it's really easy to romanticize what she represents and that lifestyle and that idea of like stepping into this hyper, like a caricature of being feminine role where you're just very maternal and in touch with your kids and just love to bake and be in the kitchen and support your husband. But it's like they are both in obscenely overpaid professions
mm-hmm.
and just have the luxury of time. And it just made me think so much about how like the ultimate signifier of wealth these days is time, having downtime.
Yeah.
To do shit like this.
Yeah. I also think us thinking about it this morning about us romanticizing it as well. And I think part of it is it feels like this form of disassociation because everything in the world has been so heavy and so full on. And it's like, you know, we all were talking about feminism and the Me Too movement and making all these changes and like kind of, and then it just feels like nothing really has changed that, you know, even for things like, I don't know, the body positivity movement or whatever, that just feels like it's gone back to size zero. And I think, and like abortion rights are being stripped away and the Supreme Court is right wing and like Trump's going to get in again. And it just is like, whoa, I think everyone is kind of like, oh, it feels nice to like, it's so such a bad thing to do and we shouldn't be doing this. But with how heavy the weight of the world is and how heavy social media can be and how heavy the news can be, like I think a lot of people are just like, it's so much, it's too much for my brain and making cookies and focusing yeah. on being like really individualistic is just a form of coping.
That's so true. And I remember in the search bar of one of her videos, it was like Nara Smith lobotomy. And it was making me laugh so much because like it does seem like she's had
don't
a lobotomy.
Worry darling,
like she's just literally, she's don't worry darling, she's mm-hmm. like then I did this and then I did that and then we went here
if someone's probably searching that about like us sometimes.
Yeah. I want to fuck it, we all crave a lobotomy. This is what the tale of Nara Smith is. You're right, everyone just wants to escape into a world where all they do is like their toddler says, I want cinnamon, what's it called? Like Captain Crunch. So you spend 11 hours making Captain Crunch from scratch.
Yeah.
That's the dream. We don't want to think.
Well, yeah, because also everything's so busy now. And everything's so, I think that's even why I felt like depressed off the back of my birthday. I was like, just getting not that I even got that many messages, but just like messages, and then there's social media, and then there's like, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do, and I was just like, I just want to sit at home. Yesterday when I was at work, I was like, all I'm thinking about, which I think is like a sign of depression, but I was like, all I'm thinking about is lying on my couch and just putting on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And just watching that. That's all I want to do. I can't stop thinking about it. It was like 1 p.m. when I got home and I was like, oh, thank God. And like sat on my couch and just put The Bachelor and wasn't texting anyone back. Was just like, it's, yeah, it's. I think it can be like this cycle. Because if you zone out from being super on top of stuff at the moment, like you can then just feel like you don't know what's going on and then continue to bury your head in the sand or something. I don't know.
Yeah, the overwhelm is so real. I was talking to some people on Sunday. It was like Zach's super smart maths friends. And they were just saying how 40 or 50 years ago, the conception was that technology would like save humanity. It would allow us to automate a bunch of jobs so we could keep getting paid well but just have far more downtime. And that it would mean that we could cut out a bunch of menial physical labor, and then we could all, like, it was literally written about in the, I don't know, I'm passing, but
in the Bible,
70s in the Bible, it was written about that we would, technology would get so sophisticated that our generation would have the means to like get all of our work done in a couple of hours and then have 8 hours a day to paint and read and spend time with our children and walk in nature and like tap into all these things that we think we want to use free time for. And it's so crazy that technology is so sophisticated now, and yet none of us feel like we have a minute of free time.
Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, I'm like, I just want to read a book.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm constantly needing to do some kind of errand when I'm not working. I either have work to finish or some errand that I've been putting off because I haven't had time to do it because of work and, I guess, being online. But I just think it's like the day-to-day shit that piles up, because I'm not even, I have like a half-hour limit on Instagram, which I hit at like 10:30 p.m. and I don't have TikTok on my phone and I don't use Twitter. But I think it's like communicating with people is my problem. I'm constantly like texting people and tasks, like taking my car to get service, which I still haven't done.
It's tasks. I find that I had like a long conversation about with Zach about this last week, about, as you know, how much I hate texting and the expectation to text and how much anxiety it gives me and how annoying, yeah, I find it.
That's what happens to me sometimes. That's what was happening to me on like my birthday, where I felt that overwhelm that I know you feel. And I like bring it on myself, because I'll text a whole bunch of people when I'm feeling jolly and then they will come back and I'm like,
leave me alone.
Yeah.
I just said, Zach was like, it's really, really rude to not reply to texts. Like, that's very rude. Like, that upset, like, that's, you know, people are upset by that and it's impolite. And I was like, why can't it just be, I love all those old, like, Jane Austen books, and I'm, like, listening to the audiobook of Sense and Sensibility at the moment, and I just keep thinking, like, why can't it just be like it has been for the last bazillion years, where you write a letter to someone once every 6 months and you say, hi, I love you, you're my friend, what's happening, this is everything that's going on with me, hope all is well with you. Like, you care about a person the same amount. I don't understand this desire to be in constant contact with people, and that if you're not, you're being rude. But I also understand if someone sends you a message and you don't reply for weeks, that it feels rude, because you know that someone's on their phone. Like, you know they've seen it and that it takes 40 seconds to reply.
It was it's similar to, I actually saw really randomly the Laura Henshaw and Steph Claresmith did like a snippet of their podcast on Instagram, and they were talking about being late, and I can't remember who, I'm assuming Steph. Not to like generalize, but I'm assuming Steph is the late one and Laura's on time. And like Steph was just being like, oh, I'm just like 10 minutes late, it's not a big deal. And one of them, I think Laura, was saying that I find really rude, like, because you're basically saying your time is more valuable than mine.
Mm.
And that's like mm-hmm. a similar thing with the texting thing. It's like you're mm-hmm. saying that you're like you wanting to, I don't know, not reply because it stresses you out is like more valuable than someone else's
yeah
thing. But it's quite a funny one because I don't care when people don't text me back. And I also don't care when people are late. But then people were like really riling up in their comments.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like you see the world through the prism of what bothers you. So to me, because I hate texting and find it so unimportant, I would if someone didn't text me for the rest of my life, I would never care and never hold it against them because I wouldn't assume it was yeah. like a reflection.
Yeah, like I didn't text you back when you said yeah. said happy birthday to me. Like yeah. I just didn't text a bunch of people back.
I was really upset.
Like I just didn't text a bunch of people back. Cause I was, and then yeah. like I wonder if they're like, oh, that's rude. But I'm like this. Yeah.
It's too much. And it's like, this was a great parlay to Megan.
Yes.
This is such a great parlay to Megan's new lifestyle brand. But it's, I find that some people love being the kind of people that get sent something, then sit and respond to it really thoughtfully and send a thank you note and do a handwritten thing and send a blah, blah, blah. And some people love that. And this is my argument to Zach was like, why can't we just accept there are like different types of people in the world? Why can't I just be bad at texting? Why does it have to be something I have to fix and get on top of and change about it myself? Why can't it just be one of my faults?
Mm-hmm. This is a very ADD. The way I am. You should listen to yeah. the ADD podcast because they were talking about how like they try to make ADD people fit into normal society in so many different ways. And there are so many ways that our brains are different. And they just don't fit. And it's like, stop trying to force it. Like they were saying the sleep thing. They were saying like, can't remember the statistic, very ADD, but a large percentage of people who have ADD also have insomnia and like massive right. sleep issues. And on top of that, the way our energy peaks throughout the day and productivity peaks throughout the day is different to people, is different to normal people. So it's like, people without ADD will be really productive and awake first thing in the morning, and people with ADD don't wake up until like actually my brain doesn't feel fully awake until like 10, 11 a.m. And so the sleep schedule should be different to cater to that. But instead we're like so rigorous with these timetables where like I know one of my friends who has ADD who lives in, she has it way worse than me. She lives in London and she has this crazy insomnia and doesn't sleep till like 2 or 3 in the morning every single day. And then is supposed to be forced up to get up for work at 8 in the morning.
Yeah. And have a fucking morning routine and like journal and do all this shit before.
Yeah. And feel and yeah. made to feel guilty when she sleeps till 11 a.m. and lazy.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what it is. I think we need to be a bit more adaptable to people. The way technology's invaded our lives is so awful and fucked up and crazy, and we're like the guinea pig generation it's all being enacted on. And I think if you feel overwhelmed by it, you're actually just reacting like a fucking normal human being, and you're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's we're not built for this level of stimulation and overwhelm and information every day.
Yeah.
And to have 20 messages every time you open your phone from people wanting and feeling guilty when you don't reply straight away, like I don't think that's normal.
Yeah. And that also, not to say you have ADD, but it is an ADD thing where you can't prioritize a certain task. So like all tasks have the same amount of priority in your brain. So it's like you're getting all of these texts and of course you're feeling so over. It's like I was saying to my friend yesterday, it's my friend's baby shower this weekend. And I was like, I was given a task for it. And that task, as you know, because you've worked with me for like 5 years, that just sits in my brain. Like the whole time. Yeah. So it's like when we have something to do for the podcast, it's just in my brain until we do it. Adding. So it's like, then there's a text to reply to. Then there's an email. Then there's this. Then there's a silly little task. Then there's finding a dress for your wedding is in my brain. Yeah. Like, yeah. and they Very just can't infinite. Get priority. And yeah, it's like, even if you don't, like, I'm not saying you have it because I'm sure it's just another, it's overwhelming anyway. But like, yeah, having all of these different tasks to reply to through technology is just it's mental.
It's mental and it adds time, like because each individual one is like, oh, that takes 20 seconds or that takes a minute or it takes 2 minutes to reply to. But if you accumulate all of those things, that adds hours to a day. And if you suddenly were at your workplace and they said, you've got to do this task that's going to take you another 90 minutes a day, people would revolt.
What was the end of the conversation?
Of what conversation?
With Zach about the replying.
Yeah, we just agreed to disagree. I was like, it is. He just said there's an easy way to just say, like, reply, but don't let it turn into an endless chatting conversation. You can just say, yes, sounds amazing. Let's catch up next month. Talk about it. I don't know. He was like, just there's got to be some line in between Netley just not replying for 2 months and having to reply straight away. You've just got to try and find a balance. I think I'm going to set aside an hour a week for like correspondencing. I know it sounds stupid, but I need it.
Oh my God. I just don't even know. I don't know. I guess because we both don't value it. I just don't even, I like find you annoying if it's something urgent with like the podcast, but that's, you will reply if you see your phone, but because you don't prioritize looking at your phone, that can be annoying. But other than that, like on a friendship level, I just don't even, I'm not fazed by it. I think it's all, yeah, I think it's just people understanding as well.
Yeah.
Their fault. But yeah, with the late thing, it was crazy. People were really like really upset if you're 15 minutes late to a dinner, you should have left on time. Like, you're not valuing the other person's time. I get it. I find it very annoying for things like in an exercise class. I don't mind someone being late to an exercise class at all. Like, if they come in late, it doesn't bother me. I don't care. But if the instructor starts late, that's when I get annoyed. Like, right. I'm like, that's, I'm paying to be here. I want to start this class at 9 o'clock on the fucking dot. Like, not 9:03, not 9:04. Like, when Katie used to, like, be chatting to clients, like, before Reformer, I was like, let's get the show on the fuck. Like, I'm, like, about to burst with anger if that happens. But then with friends, if they're late, I start to get annoyed at, like, the 20-minute mark. Unless they're, like, really, really... Like, someone I met the other day was half an hour late to drinks. But I knew it was because they're not from LA. They don't know the traffic. They were Ubering. They text me saying they were running late and were stressed about it. And then they bought me all the drinks. So I'm like, that's fine. But yeah, it's like the 20-minute mark of someone's late. I'm just like, okay.
These are the rules of etiquette. The only time I've ever been over half an hour late, you have to buy the person dinner. You just have to.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've only done that once and I bought the person dinner. I'm always 5 to 10 minutes late, and if I'm really honest with myself, it's because I think being on time is jado.
Oh my God, I'm always 5 to 10 minutes late because I can't get my shit sorted.
I buffer for it because I'm like, you don't want to get there like the second or 3 minutes before. How embarrassing. That's in my brain.
That's really funny. Mine, I love arriving on time, smack bang on time, and if I'm running 10 minutes late, I'm like speeding. I'm going to be one of those ADD deaths because I'm like speeding along the freeway trying to get there on time.
I subliminally think if someone gets to the restaurant and they're like on time and I'm just sitting in the booth, they're like, settle. Like,
really?
I know that's wrong, but that's what I feel.
Yeah. No, I love to be on time. I hate to be late, but I am late. I said that the other day to my friend. I was like, I've just come to realize that I'm always 10 minutes late, but that's like, really, really trying to not be.
Yes, and I'm not bothered when other people are 10 minutes late. You know, like, it really, I have no feeling in my body of like ill will or, because I get it, because I do it. So I'm like, that's why it's hard to empathize with people who are really bothered by it.
Yes.
But that makes sense to me, that idea that you think that other person is saying their time is more valuable than you, like that would be infuriating.
Yeah. Especially if you had a thing. Maybe these people just are bitter towards their friends. Because I would never think that you thought your time was more valuable than mine.
No, neither. I just feel like shit happens. Like,
yeah.
A 10-minute buffer is just, has to be.
Imagine given. The pod would have been cancelled long ago with both of us. Long, like, I'm always ago. Like, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 1 second. And you're always like, 2 minutes, wait, I'm 20 minutes away. I'm like, oh shit, I'm getting my eyebrows dyed. Home soon.
Exactly. Oh, I want to talk about American Riviera Orchard, but we're at 50 minutes.
Well, it's going to take up the whole Patreon.
That's true. Okay.
But, I mean, should we start for a second? All of these Patreon teasers. So I, like, fully wasn't, I mean, obviously was sent this by like 10,000 podcast girls, but I wasn't fully across what it was. I didn't even like look at the name properly until yesterday, and everything is so special. Also, there's been a people piece that came out this morning, Grace, that is like the funniest article in the entire world, speaking to a source close to Megan about why she chose the name, like what she thinks about the backlash, everything about it. But basically the timing is...
Let's start with the timing. Let's go into other details on the Patreon, but timing.
Shocking.
Crazy.
Shocking.
Not strategic either.
No.
I have to say, it got buried.
Got buried because we're missing a princess who apparently... Did you see the video that TMZ published of Kate and Will walking out of like a farm shop in Windsor? Everyone Someone was like, that's not Kate night. Middleton.
I was like, it's not her. I was like, that is Kate Middleton. I was like, she's been gua sha-ing. Those cheekbones are popping.
Kate Middleton never has straight hair like that, though. I mean, I know that's it's her. I know it's her. But she looks
She's
young.
She's not brazen enough. Why does she look mystery?
She looks so much better than when she was in the car with her mum, though.
That's what I said. She's been using her gua sha. She was so like bloated and post surgery in the mum pic, and now she's looking fucking snatched. Farmer's market. She looks so nice.
But I'm so shocked as to no one looking up as they're walking past.
I guess if they're all locals, they probably have a bit of a tacit, like...
Surely you would still steal a glance back once they've walked past. Didn't even see a head move.
That's true.
But, very weird timing. It got buried to the point where I was like, I can't even bother looking into this properly. What is the full name?
American... Riviera Orchard Montecito. But it's American Riviera Orchard and then Montecito's underneath.
Why is Montecito like there?
I can't. I'm obsessed with it. It's the most Meghan Markle thing she's possibly ever done.
Mm-hmm. The
American Riviera Orchard. And then it says on the Instagram by established 2024 and by Meghan, Duchess of Sussex.
Okay, the logo being a full... What are they called?
Does it have a name?
So it has like the M, but this is like a royal...
Oh, like a royal seal.
Yeah, it looks like a royal seal, like a thing that they would... Oh, I can't remember the name, but where you would show your house.
A crest.
Yeah, so a crest.
Her and Harry have a crest, which I found out recently, and it's really funny because they just had to like make it up. It just shows you how stupid all this royal stuff is. They're like... had to add elements of her Californian background to this crest. So it has like a Californian bird and colours. So this could be the crest.
It's so funny seeing who of my friends follows it.
Yeah, I followed it. I followed it.
It doesn't say you follow it. Instagram's weird like that now. I missed the video. Did you see she posted on her Instagram stories a video of her in the kitchen? I can't find it on the internet now. Maybe it's on TikTok.
Yeah, I did see it. It was in like that Lana Del Rey national anthem, like the 8mm 50 style filming, like, you know, the Super 8.
Yeah.
And it was her in the kitchen like arranging a thing of flowers and doing something in the sink. We'll go further
Harry
into
bagels.
It. Making Harry eight bagels. I think the brand itself is the first truly smart thing that they've done post-Mexit. And I think it has all the ingredients to be very successful. But I've lost my trust in their ability to execute.
Okay, we have to go.
And we have to go. That's a teaser.
Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.